Here we have Lena. She's development manager at the front and has considered passwords for a while now, and she's had to remember passwords and use them. And she has experience with people forgetting their passwords or losing them. And she's going to talk about what you can do against that. Applause.
All right, let's get going. Welcome to my talk on why users are annoyed by logins. I'm Lena, I'm 22 years old. I'm information scientist working mostly on the front end, where we build the interfaces for the people who are supposed to use our stuff. And one thing turns out to be really negative, and that's user logins. We all know them. It's normal to us. We need it for just about everything, and it's hardly ever questioned. But that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to question the entire concept of logins. We're going to go through a typical flow of what an average user has to deal with. And then we'll also be looking at alternatives and how it can be done better in future. Let's start. We have an example app, and we'll pretend that we're a user who wants to use this app. This app helps you do X, Y. Cool, let's start. Damn it. We need to log in somehow, and that's where trouble starts. This sucks, because all we really want to do is use the app. But let's do this. Now we need to register username, email, password. And this increases frustration. We'll fill out this form. Not quite yet. First, the user asks themselves, but why do I need to do all this? All I want to do is use this app really quickly. I don't understand. I don't want to. And I also don't always want to give these people my data. This is an understandable argument. The frustration increases. We enter all this stuff. We've thought of a password, and now we get this beautiful red text, at least 8 characters, uppercase, lowercase, special characters, and numbers. Nobody can remember this, especially not a person who is not as technologically literate as us. Frustration increases further. We pull something out of our head, a random password that we are definitely not going to be able to remember. And at this point, most of us would use a password manager, but not everyone knows them. Of course, we as IT people do, but the average person does not. And for them, a password manager always means extra effort. It needs to be configured, it needs to be set up. You need to deal with yet another interface. You need to enter the new accounts, you need to unlock it. And looking at it from the perspective of a user who is not very technically literate, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And for that reason, password managers aren't a real solution for the basic concept of passwords, but more of a stopgap or of fighting symptoms, because passwords are still there, they're not gone. So we've registered, we've thought of a password, and then we see email confirmation. Frustration increases even more. Email confirmation, well, we know that it's necessary for security. We have to verify accounts somehow, but for the people who have to use this later, it's yet another step, because all they want to do is use the app. these emails have a tendency to end up in the spam folder, which might be because the mail server is misconfigured. That's annoying. It can lead to further confusion. And some providers use a mail queue if they have a lot of traffic, so the user, which means that the user will have to wait. And data protection and privacy, as we were talking about earlier, we need to hand over further data that we don't really want to. How can we do it differently? Because users' frustration is at the top. We're really irritated and angry. We don't want to deal with this anymore. And even if the app otherwise works perfectly, people think it's a stupid app, stupid developers. That sucks. In a commercial app, you might even be losing customers. So what are the alternatives?
We have open authentication, for example. This is a standard that we have seen as a login with a third party. For example, Google, GitHub, or Apple accounts. And that is a little better, because if that happens on your mobile device, like Android or iPhone, then Google and Apple IDs are already stored there. That's an advantage for the user who has only to push one button. And the security is a little better, in quotes, because if every... It's a problem if every developer does a new, so if the developer doesn't really adhere to the standards, that's a problem. So if developers don't have to manage passwords, but it established third parties do it, that's a little better. Data protection, again, is a problem because you do have a third party, and the data has to go through this identity provider. And with big tech companies like Google and Facebook, that's not ideal. And it's also not really a solution, because you still have a password. You have fewer passwords, and it's centralized, but you still have a password. It's only one password, and you don't have to memorize as many, and you already have the data stored, but still. The second alternative we have are passkeys. Here you have a login where you use a security key, called residence key here. That has a high security level because it uses asymmetric cryptography. And for the user experience, it's useful that if this has been configured well and implemented well, we don't need a username and we don't need a password if we want to log in. That's what we call residence keys. A security key realizes how you want to log in. You only have to push one button. You can have a biometric component like a fingerprint or face ID. You don't have an email verification or password, and it's really secure because asymmetric cryptography is used. So you have a public key and a private key, and the user doesn't have to handle any of this, and that's secure. However, here you have the disadvantage that it might be a little troublesome and a little tedious, because if you have more than one device, smartphone, laptop, computer, then normally passkeys are linked to one device, and if you want to log in somewhere else, you have to transport it to another device. For example, with a QR code, as Microsoft does it, and you have to personalize it. That's not great. But still, it's less stress, less frustration, even if it's not ideal. So to fix this, we have those physical security keys. Some of you may have them. For the users, those are easier because you only have one device. And the metaphor of a key is very obvious and intuitive. And you can use this for digital logins as a real key. People who don't understand technology as well, they understand this well. It's also very... Those work this way that you have a two-factor authentication, because you have something physical, something that you have, and a PIN, something that you know. You have this physical security key, and you can be asked for your PIN. And for the users, this is quite understandable and intuitive. But they still have a problem because it's, again, tedious to implement. You have to buy it. You have to put all your accounts on this. It takes a lot of time and it's annoying. But once you've established the system, logging in and registration are really easy. But a big disadvantage is that this is quite expensive. So you have to think about, you know, why should I buy an extra device for extra money that I may not have? You have to explain to people why they should do that. So what do we learn? There are better alternatives to passwords, but password managers are not necessarily the solution, even though they're good to use. But they're only as a fight against the symptoms of the problem. And we as IT world, IT people, we should, when we design systems and interfaces, think about the users who have to use this and look beyond our own horizon and consider the situation of someone who is trying to achieve something with this and think about their thoughts.
Das war's auch schon. Vielen Dank
für that was it. Thanks for listening to me. There's going to be a Q&A following this, and I'm going to load my slides onto my website. Thank you. Okay, this was faster than we thought.
So.
Cards.
So, als erstes.
So, first of all, let's give her a hand, please.
So, das war eine schnelle, kompakte Übersicht.
This was a fast and compact overview over the password problem and what you can do about it. Now, questions and answers. Who wants to start? Raise your hands, and then I'm going to come to you, and if need be, go even to the sitting possibilities. Okay, we have a second microphone. You've talked about user to machine, about authentication and password. Can you say something about machine to machine? Because if you have machine to machine, then there will be passwords in the plain text somewhere.
Yeah, also.
Yes, in the classic flow, the password is transmitted in clear text, which ideally happens over TLS encrypted connection. For OAuth, a third party handles it, where we can only hope that it's all encrypted through TLS. For passkeys, this does not happen. No clear text passwords are sent, and the PIN isn't sent either, because there is a software on the chip that does that handles public and private keys, and no passwords are transmitted in plain text.
Thanks for the questions.
Ja, hier vorne, ich komme einfach mal runter.
Yeah, I'm going to you.
Das ist natürlich noch besser. Ja, recht schönen guten Abend. Ich
danke
bin
dir.
Thank you. I'm interested in the human side of this. I'm 74 years old, but I work for even older people with their computers and handies, and even in big companies like Telekom. Nobody ever thinks about the DAU, the stupidest possible user. And sometimes they just frustrate their users so much. Does nobody ever test this with users who are not tech people? I have the feeling that the designers just are in their own world and then give it to the users, like, untested.
Exactly. That's the largest problem, the main problem. Many companies do QA testing, but the people who are involved in development, they might do it, but it's not done externally. And I would ask you to expand your horizons and not just think of our own perspective as developers, but also think of the people who are going to have to use the things that we build.
Question from the front. Perhaps a simple question for you, but for me it's not clear yet. So this physical key, those physical keys, is that something that I can imagine, like a USB stick that has a password manager installed, or is it very different? Is that something that the website has to support, or is that a solution that can work next to a password manager?
These physical security keys are basically USB sticks, but they don't only contain storage, but also a processor and a crypto chip. It works through asymmetric encryption, so the private keys are calculated and stored on these devices, on the security keys. It doesn't leave the key, and it's exchanged in a way that means that the website needs to implement the interface, but most of the work happens on the USB device, which also contains a processor.
Okay, I have a further question here.
Ja, hallo.
In the front. Hi. So you've talked about many approaches and with advantages and disadvantages, but I don't really know what you're recommending. What do you recommend?
Personally, I would recommend using passkeys. A lot of major providers suggest that you use them, and that's how I imagine the future, because there are a lot more advantages compared to an old username password system. So my recommendation is passkeys. If you're a developer who is going to implement this, I would recommend that you look at the documentation and the interfaces, because that's where the future is heading.
Thanks. I see another microphone. You have talked about the fact that it should be simpler for the users. And now we've talked about, now someone said older people have special problems with usernames and passwords. But I didn't really find your other solutions easier to understand, because username and password is sometimes complicated and you have to remember them. But the others are even more difficult to understand. So my recommendation or thought is we as ITlers should think about whether we need username and password at all. We should take the apps somewhere where we don't use that, and we shouldn't put everything behind a username and password wall. So we as IT people should question this much more. Or what do you think about the difficulty of these solutions? If I think about my parents, they understand username and password, but if I try to tell them something else, they're confused. Or they also doubt whether it's even secure because they don't understand it.
Yes, understandability is a thing. I was mostly talking about the technical aspects, which aren't really relevant for the people using the apps. Because if the developers implemented it well, and they use a modern smartphone, or they have a physical security key, it's nice and simple. All you have to do is plug the stick into the computer or touch it to your phone. You press a button and you're in. This is a shorter process than registering and thinking of a password. You don't have to do any of those things. But the point about making more things publicly accessible is a good one. In the case of apps, we often do need some kind of protection, some kind of authentication and authorization, because we need to store certain data for a user, and it's not easy to implement in a way that would make more of it public, because we need authentication and authorization and storing data for users.
You know that we're streaming live to the internet. We have chat rooms and social media channels and a Signal Angel who is covering those channels. Are there any questions from the internet? So there's the first question. Can you please tell us in how far passkeys and two-factor authentication are connected?
Yes, passkeys are currently being used a lot for two-factor authentication, for the factor of something you own. But this is not very widespread in yet that you can register using passkeys, even though you can use them for both use cases, that is two-factor authentication and one-factor authentication, because the passkeys themselves come with two factors, the physical key and a PIN that you need to enter.
Thanks. In the front on the right, there is a question. Who wanted to ask that? Short question about passkeys. I haven't worked with those. I just thought, how does it work if you have more than one device? Do you only have one database that you use, or do you need a database for every device?
And that depends on how you use the passkeys. If you're not going to buy a physical security key, like the one I'm showing you here, then the implementation in the operating system deals with it. Microsoft does it, Android does it, so does iOS. I'm not sure about Linux, but I'm sure there are implementations for that. And things get trickier with multiple devices because you have to figure out how to sync your keys between devices. So one option is scanning a QR code, but it's definitely a bit more hassle than buying a physical key, which also isn't possible for everyone because these physical keys cost money.
More questions? Please wave, because I can't see everyone. Okay, second microphone. No? Okay. In the back. Have you found certain sources for what you've said, because I'm trying to convince my colleagues that this is a problem, but my IT guys don't believe me.
Right, interesting. I found most of the information through the practical work with it. I've built applications, both the front end and the back end part, that use passkeys and OAuth. I read the documentation of those, the frameworks that I used. There is also an official specification for passkeys. I don't remember the website, but it might be passkey.io or something. There's also a passwordless page somewhere that explains it in very well illustrated detail.
Sorry, my question was a bit different. My question was, are there any sources that describe that it makes the user experience a lot worse if they don't have SSO and have to use username and password?
I haven't yet found a lot of that. I haven't found a lot of sources that explain this to users. It's mostly technical documentation for people implementing these protocols. I hope that people, there's going to be more documentation written once these systems become more widespread.
Second, Mike. Yes, I see another question. What does it look like in physical security? I have 4-disk encryption and a password manager. So if my device is stolen, is there a brute force protection on the passkey or?
I can't answer if there's a brute force detection on protection on it, but if you lose your physical key, there are several security mechanisms. One is that the fact that you have to enter your PIN the first time you use it on a new device. You can also disable these passkeys remotely using the manufacturer's services, where you can disable them and it can no longer be used by anyone who might find or steal it.
Okay, thanks. Okay, our time is coming to an end. I see a waving hand. I'm going to come to you. What do you do if the device is stolen? Can I access the passkeys or the database? So I'm asking about backup solutions here.
The official recommendation is owning 2 passkeys. That's what I do. I have one at home and one on my keychain. Both contain exactly the same things. That's how you can access accounts if you lose one. Alternatively, you can use the access recovery of a provider.
And how do you tell the user that I have to register this?
Yeah, it's not exactly easy. I can't really answer that. Clever people have to find clever phrasings to explain this to people in the most simple terms possible.
Yeah, you see, it's not that easy. Any more questions from the internet? Assumed I have a solution where I have a passkey on a phone. Isn't it more secure for tech knowledgeable people to use a password and a token?
Yes, you can use a passkey as a second factor. It happens frequently in reality, where you have normal username plus password login. And if it's implemented correctly, you're going to be asked for a passkey. It's double the security level. It's being done.
So, ich habe noch eine Hand gesehen. Okay, I've seen another hand.
Ja, das zweite Mikrofon bitte.
Yes, please, second mic.
Zum Teilen von Passkeys.
I want to say something about sharing passkeys. You can use the software KeyPass. I use that. That means KeyPass is shared by devices. But the passkey approach has additional security mechanisms that you usually don't have. But the hardware dependency is not worth a lot more than a password in a password manager. But you can't log into a wrong website because passkey also respects the domain.
That's right. If you store your passkeys in a password manager, then that's something you can do. But if somebody finds the main password of the password manager, you lose the security aspect. But there's still a UX advantage. As long as the password manager syncs well. I think KeyPass makes you do it manually. Others have a cloud, but the security aspect is decreased.
Mic 2. I have another question. Could you say something about the effort for the developers who have developed this? So such a front end that is protected with user and password. So what do I tell my provider for the SAFT word who has to then migrate this to passkey? Will this be an expensive bill?
In my experience as somebody who's already implemented this, it's definitely more effort. You have to deal with concepts such as asymmetric encryption. You have to read the specification, you have to implement this. And because it's a fairly new concept compared to passwords, it's more effort. Developers are going to have to read up on it. But of course, a lot can go wrong in the implementation of username password systems, but the initial effort is definitely higher.
From the Signal Angels. Internet is happy or has not found any question in the meantime. Audience, any more questions? Somebody. Last chance. Wave if you have one. I don't see any more questions. So let's finish this off with a and raising a hand, giving a hand to Lena.